Are you ready, Alabama?
All the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Your drum major is high-stepping back onto the field, I guess, without my band. But with you, we take it at 5:30 tonight, then we're going to make way for the NCAA tournament, and then we'll be back on Monday because the next two afternoons totally covered up with Westwood One, giving you all that great coverage of the NCAA tournament. So you'll enjoy that because it's just one of the great things. It's one of the great things of this time of year. The other thing that's great about this time of year is spring ball. And Alabama will be on the field. Auburn's been on the field for a couple of weeks on and off. Alabama will be on the field next week. They did their testing. Joining us now to talk a little bit about spring ball coming up is Aaron Suttles from TideSports.com, the Tuscaloosa News. Aaron, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Tom. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How much of this spring ball is going to be on identifying the running backs, the quarterback, if there's going to be a real battle there? Or how much of this is on this new parts of the coaching staff? Because there's a lot of pieces that have been moved around and new guys in here, particularly the offensive coordinator, Brian DeBall. How important is it for them as opposed to even the players?
Well, I think it's real important for Brian DeBall to get chemistry with Jalen Hurts. First time getting out on the field together. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this because I'm quite frankly tired of hearing Alabama fans talk about it. There is no quarterback competition. You got the reigning SEC Offensive Player of the Year as your quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, does he need to improve? Yeah. But here are your options. You got two kids that should be in high school right now, going to their senior proms, and you got a guy that's the reigning SEC Offensive Player of the Year. That's not a competition to me. Jalen Hurts is your quarterback, and until further notice, deal with it. He's going to have to get better, certainly. But I'm tired of hearing talk about Tua Tagovailoa, a 5'11" guy who played in Hawaii. Listen, I have nothing against Tua, but he's 5'11" and he played in Hawaii. He's never seen the defensive athletes that, like, he'll face in practice. So Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. But it's important for Brian to get on the same page with him. The two position groups I'm looking forward to, I think the most intriguing battles will take place along the offensive line, where there is a ton of talent for basically two spots if the starters hold on to their jobs. There's two jobs open, and there's a lot of offensive line talent that Alabama has. And the most important position they need to develop in spring and in fall camp is obviously depth of defensive line.
Yeah, which is a new link. By the way, it's not, and I'm not saying you've written it, it's not necessarily the fans that have been talking about it as much as we've read this, from various writers who cover the team and so on, and talking about how it's a competition. There'll be a competition. Tua's coming in to compete. And I've said the same thing you're saying. You got the offensive player of the year as a true freshman. This is the quarterback for the next 3 years. This is why everybody else left, including Blake Barnett. This is why the room got cleared out. Everybody acknowledged and noted and saw what was going on with Jalen Hurts. And clearly, a guy that's got that kind of a season under his belt, he can only get better. I mean, it's not going to get worse. There were things that certainly there are deficiencies in his game here and there and his passing and so on. But you would think that would improve.
Yeah, listen, he does need to get better at passing the ball. Alabama needs some balance in their offense. But it's human nature to remember what you saw last. And what Alabama fans remember last is Jalen struggling the last part of the season. But I'll point out the last time he touched a football during a game, he scored the go-ahead touchdown in a national championship game. The last time he touched the ball in the game, he delivered as a true freshman on the biggest stage in the country. Now, it wasn't passing the ball, but they give you 6 points for it regardless when he scored that touchdown. So, and I'll point out that everybody's in love with Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm not, you know, I don't root against kids. I'm just pointing out facts. He's 5'11". He played in Hawaii. He's got a lot of positive attributes. He's got a big arm, a strong arm. But from everything that I've heard, Mac Jones is the quarterback who stood out early since he arrived on campus, the kid from Jacksonville. And he's not nearly physically developed enough to take a beating in the SEC. Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback, and I'll argue with anyone all day long who tries to write anything differently.
Well, the other part of Jalen Hurts is, you know, and we're not, you know, I haven't been in the locker room necessarily to see it, and you know, even the people who are covering the team on a regular basis may not see it as much as what it's like when reporters aren't around. But my understanding, his leadership ability is off the charts. I mean, his ability to the way the team responds to him, and we know Nick Saban's big on that. I mean, it's what held Jake Coker back. It's what held other guys back at other times. And Saban, how many times have we heard Saban say, we're going to see how the huddle responds to him? And it seemed to be that was as much a part of this process as anything else, is that the team rallies in place for this guy. They'll go to war with this kid.
He's a leader. He's mature. He's calm in the biggest moments. Listen, I don't get paid to defend Jalen Hurts. I just deal with facts, and I feel like people conveniently just make up their own facts and believe what they want to believe nowadays. And there isn't – it's just reality. There is not a quarterback competition. Now, that doesn't mean that Alabama doesn't want to develop those guys behind him, because when you're a dual-threat quarterback, you get hit. And when you get hit, you can get hurt. And Alabama's got zero experience behind him. So, yeah, the quarterback – quote-unquote competition, I guess, would be getting these guys behind Jalen up to speed so that in the case of an emergency, Alabama's season doesn't go up in smoke. That's the only intrigue for me with a quarterback play this spring.
I did see a little bit of a different attack, you know, in the national championship game under Steve Sarkisian than you did. You didn't see as many jet sweeps. That might have been the case anyway, and Jalen's numbers did get a little bit skewed with some of the jet sweeps. Darius Stewart had some great yards receiving that would actually have, you know, look like running plays more than anything else. But having said that, Kel Ridley had a great freshman year. Last year was, you know, not nearly as effective, and you could say some of that might have been the quarterback play. But how important is it to get those guys, that receiving group, you know, back involved, especially a guy like Cal Ridley and even Robert Foster, who I thought was going to go nuts when he finally got healthy and really didn't contribute much at all. How important do you think it is for them to figure out a way to get those guys back involved in this offense?
Well, Calvin Ridley is your deep threat. He's your over-the-top, get-behind-the-defense guy. And I saw an article from ESPN last week, and I did a piece about it on the radio, asking what was wrong with Calvin Ridley last year. Nothing wrong with Calvin Ridley. Caught 70 passes. His yardage dipped into the 700s. I think he still had 7 or 8 touchdown catches. What was wrong with Calvin Ridley is he didn't have a quarterback that could do what he did best, and that's get him the ball deep. I mean, that's where Calvin Ridley's game excels, is he can get on top of the defense. And unfortunately, Jalen Hurts has not developed or did not have that skill set last year to push the ball down the field. And that's where Calvin really can do some major damage. You know, Calvin still had 70 catches, and I get a lot of those are within 5 yards, and a lot of Jalen Hurts' yards were hidden in that too. But that's what Calvin does. I mean, he's your deep threat home run guy that you have to respect, and just wasn't there for Alabama last year. That's not Calvin's fault. That's just he's a byproduct of a circumstance. So when I hear what's going on with Calvin Ridley, nothing. He just didn't have a quarterback to get him the ball. I mean, you can be Jerry Rice, but if you can't throw him the ball, you're not going to put up good numbers. And I'll still say 70 catches is pretty good for the number two receiver last year, and he was clearly Jalen's number two receiver. Jalen had a natural chemistry with our Darius Stewart that, I mean, it was pretty easy to see. He felt comfortable going to him with the ball. You know, Calvin is still the number one receiver. I look at a guy like Henry Ruggs III. I think he can be explosive in this offense. I think Daboll will try to find, you know, unique ways to get him involved. I think Ruggs is a guy that can be a punt returner, kick returner. He's a guy I would watch out for this year.
By the way, has anybody actually settled the Daboll versus Daboll issue? Is he, he's been at, how does he say it? Because I always thought it was Daboll, and I followed the kid for a long time. I coached against him in upstate New York when he was a Division III player back at the University of Rochester. I always thought it was Daboll, and then I heard people saying Daboll. Did anybody settle on what it is?
Tom, I think it's two separate words that we say. Day, as in today, and bull, as in the animal. So Daboll.
Daboll, really? I always thought it was Daboll. Yeah. Okay, all right, so Daboll. All right, and, you know, I think that erroneously some fans thought that Lane Kiffin was, you know, solely responsible for everything that Alabama did offensively the last 3 years, and they were outstanding production offensively, and we saw a new Alabama offense that saw a lot more plays and a lot, you know, going fast and so on. But I really do believe that it was Nick Saban who kind of instructed Lane Kiffin to say, this is how we need to speed it up. You come up with the plan, but we need to play differently in terms of to compete in this day and age. With Daboll, do you think that that's something that he brings to the table naturally, or does he have to spend time learning what Nick wants to do, or will he have a little bit of autonomy in bringing some of his own stuff in?
And I'm glad you said that, because I got in fights. But verbal altercations and debates with the writers around the country that credited Lane Kiffin with this Alabama offense. Listen, Lane Kiffin came from a West Coast attack. Lane Kiffin
he didn't run
running
that stuff.
Red concepts. Lane Kiffin wasn't running hurry up. Him and Nick Saban learned that together. And I think it's a situation that Brian Daboll is going to have to learn some of that too. And Nick Saban said that last week during Alabama's Pro Day, is that we want to do what our players can do well. And Alabama has recruited to that offense. I do think Alabama wants to be able to take the air out of the ball and run a lot of smash mouth when they have to and when they want to conserve their defense, to wear out an opposing defense. But they also realized, and Nick Saban realized this, in 2012 when Johnny Manziel ran up and down the field on him, that you can put a lot of stress on a defense by going fast, by using all 53 and a third yards of that field wide. When you make a defense have to expend that energy and then spend all corners and portions of that field, it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on a defense. And Nick Saban learned that. I think they'll mix it up like they've been doing. And I think it'll be up to Brian Daboll to learn it. And he's a coach. I mean, these guys deal with X's and O's and concepts their entire lives. So I don't think he's an innovator, but also don't think it's too much of a stretch to expect him to have a hard time learning it in a few months. I think he's a coach, and coaches can adapt pretty quickly. I think he'll learn it.
Aaron Suttle's with us from the Tuscaloosa News, TideSports.com. Do you think that his just familiarity of working with a guy like Tom Brady, I mean, it can't be anything negative about that. I mean, the things that Brady does has to rub off on a guy like Brian Daboll. And I mean, he's, you know, not that much, pretty close in age to Brady, but you would think that he would have learned a lot of things there that he can share with a guy like Jalen Hurts from, and everything that I've seen with the kid, he's a sponge. I mean, he's a coach's son, so he's been exposed his whole life to this stuff. He understands the lingo, and this is a guy that, you know, can learn to do a lot of different things. I would think that some of those concepts and some of those things, the way Brady took care of his business over the years, has got to be able to be, you know, taught at least.
Yeah, I think so. And listen, people make too much sometimes of coaching in what it boils down to, but all coaching is teaching. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do, and this is what makes great coaches from bad coaches and what makes great teachers from bad teachers. You can have all the information in the world, but if you can't find a way to communicate it to your students, to your players, then you're not a good coach. No matter, because if you can't get your message across, what does it matter? So, right. You know, that's what it boils down to. And I think it's important because this will be the third voice in Jalen's ear in over a year's period. And so that takes time. People won't expect it to just happen overnight. Well, no, it takes time. So, I mean, think about anyone close in your life that you communicate with. Did you communicate that naturally and that easily right off the bat? No, it probably took a little time to develop that. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. And but I do think there's a certain value of a guy being in the NFL, working within those confines, that will pay benefits in the college game.
Yeah. We saw some numbers come out of camp from their testing a couple of days ago. And how much faith do you have in these numbers that these are real solid numbers? Because we always see these numbers come from camp, and then these guys go to combines 2 years later or a year later, and it's different. But, you know, Brian Robinson's 4.41 40. I mean, that's, you know, that's faster than any running back at the combine, pretty much. You know, what do you, think about those numbers?
The 40 times I throw out, because they're just not accurate. And not to say anyone's trying to inflate numbers. I just think a laser time is always going to be different and more accurate than hand time. And the numbers you can look at with pretty you can take for real are the bench press numbers. And I've been saying it since the kid was a freshman. I'm glad finally people are starting to pay attention. Deron Payne is an absolute stud.
And
I think he's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick next year. I really believe that. He's incredibly strong, incredibly agile and fast for a guy his size. I think he's just got star written all over him.
I mean, the guy, you know, the bench press, 545 pounds. That's stupid. But the 365-pound power clean, he weighs 310. I mean, for if you got a guy that can power clean anywhere near their weight, that's fantastic. I mean, if you can power clean your weight, you're a superstar in terms of, you know, just pure lifting. He power cleaned 365 and squatted 635. He's certainly got all the measurables. I'm with you, too, on the 40 times, because I'll tell you what happens. The coaches are doing that, and the coaches want that fast time, and they want to ooh and ah to each other, and it's just human nature, and it's only a tenth or you know, 2/10 of a second that guy is going by, and you're just, you hit that clock, you hit that stopwatch, right, you know, and maybe he's still in midair before he's actually broken that 40 thing. But you want to be able to look at your rider, look at that, he just ran a 4.4, you know, and tell everybody that he did that. So I think that's human nature. But when a guy throws up 545 pounds on a bench, there's no hiding that. They're not hollow weights, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the weightlifting stuff's what I take away. I, like I said, I don't think anyone's intentionally trying to make a player look better than he is. But the 40 times, you just see it. You hear about how fast these guys are. And relatively, they are fast. But they get to the combine, and you're like, okay, well, maybe not as fast as we were led to believe. So
right.
I think there's an element of home cooking. I don't think it's intentional, but I do think it happens in those 40 times.
Nah, no question. Aaron Suttles with. All right, finally, regardless of 40 times, this running back room is amazing. I mean, you know, they've got three guys that are back that were all very productive type guys. Of course, everybody forgets now because Bo Scarborough finished the season so strong, kind of like what Derrick Henry did a couple of years ago. But he finished the season so strong, you forget that it was Damian Harris that led this team in rushing with over 1,000 yards on the season. And then Josh Jacobs was very effective at times. How does, I mean, B.J. Emmons is there. How does a Najee Harris or a Brian Robinson or the Townsend kid who's from up this neck of the woods, these guys don't get close to the field, right? I mean, everybody who's chopping at the butt of a Najee Harris, can he get on the field with this group of running backs this year, or do you guys just got to hold their water on him?
I think Najee gets on the field. I think he's too elite of an athlete not to. The wild card with running backs that average fans never factor in is how quickly a running back does other things than just carry the football. I mean, most of these guys have never blocked, have never been asked to block in high school because they're the best athlete on their team. It's hand them the ball and get out of their way. Well, there's more to it at the college level. You got to learn pass protection schemes. You got to know when a quarterback goes to a hot route or an audible, what your blocking assignment is, because you can get your quarterback killed. I mean, you can be responsible for a turnover if you don't learn that stuff. And then there's the finer points of learning to play the running back position, learning how to press a hole, learning how to set up your blocks, learning to exercise patience, not just speed all the time. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it than just handing a guy a ball. But Najee's too elite. He's so good with the ball in his hands, his balance, his change of direction, his vision, the way he can catch the ball out of the backfield. They're loaded. There's no other way to put it. Those other two freshmen you mentioned, I was surprised that Townsend ended up at running back.
I was going to ask about
Brian Robertson. Yeah. I figured was going to redshirt anyway, unless he's a special teams guy. But I just think Najee's too elite of a guy to get left off. And then what do you do with B.J. Emmons, who's a special running back but got hurt last year? He may be one of those guys that just has to transfer. You never know.
I mean, yeah, he threw up 425 pounds on the bench press, which is a stupid number for a guy that weighs 220, you know, to go that far over your weight. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that Chidarius Townsend and whether you thought he might end up at the other end of the field sometime during spring ball. Don't they have to take a look at him down there? He's too good of an athlete to get buried in a five deep.
Right? And that's what spring practice is for, and fall camp, early in fall camp, is moving these guys around and trying to figure out where they can help you. Because, you know, Tom, once they get into fall camp, I mean, they don't stop working with the freshmen, but they have to identify the guys who are going to make a contribution in 2017 and spend their time with them. And so, you know, that's why it's become more and more, you know, important for these freshmen, if they want to play, to come in during spring. So you can get as much hand-on coaching early as you can if you want to make an impact in your freshman season.
And I would think that Nick Saban, with his, you know, sense of defensive back play, I mean, you know, running backs, I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen, but, I mean, there are a lot of running backs that can go in there and do that thing for you. I mean, that's such a big deal. But in that defensive backfield, you know, I coached on the defensive side of the ball, and it was, your D-line makes a mistake at 6 inches, a linebacker makes a mistake at 6 yards, DB makes a mistake at 6 points. And if that's a kid that they could fit in somewhere over there and have him ready to go by his, you know, redshirt freshman year or something, you know, I would think that that would make some sense. He's just a good athlete.
Yeah, he's an elite athlete, and I know they love him, and they're going to give him a shot at running back. But I think he's too good of an athlete to keep off the field buried on a running back depth chart.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, I appreciate you, man. I know it's going to get very busy next week, and yeah, you guys will have your usual, you know, 15 minutes of access at the beginning of practice, I would imagine, right? And then some locker room time afterwards.
Yeah, we'll get to see him go through drills, and about as much as you can learn through that, but not much, in other words.
Yeah, right. Don't get too excited about who's in the front of the line and things like that. I always go nuts when I always see these. Wow, you know, this guy was at the front of the line when it. Okay, it's a handoff drill. Okay, don't get too excited.
You
it's a handoff
sometimes
drill.
That can be determined by a guy having to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Aaron Suttles. All right, we're open gangway the rest of the way. I'm looking for some good text. And I'm looking for some good tweets. And I've got some tickets to give away for the Rod Man Show. Rod Thompson is going to be down there at the stand-up comedy club. Place is doing great. Opened up about a month and a half ago. They've had tremendous shows down there. If you don't know who Rod Thompson is, this is a guy that has been on the Def Comedy Jam, Best BET's Comic View, Showtime at the Apollo. You know, he's been on a number of different things. He'll be in studio on Friday morning as well. He was the winner of Last Comic Standing Season 8, and he's just a very funny guy. He's just a really, really funny guy. I've got tickets for the 7 o'clock show and the 9 o'clock show. And I'm going to give them away, a 9:30 show, I should say, the late show on Friday night. Let me just double check. Yeah, 9:30 show. So 7 o'clock is the early show. The late show is at 9:30. I'm going to give them away today here in the end of the show. Tony Mack, don't let me forget now because the show ends early. Don't let me forget in that last segment to give away the tickets for the text of the day and the tweet of the day. And you guys will decide whether you want the 7 o'clock show or the 9:30 show. But go ahead and wear that out. It's 732-982-7469. That's your text number. And your Twitter follow is at Tom Abraham Show. Phone lines are open next, 866-485-9867. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The UMP, WUMP.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, your small business source in Alabama. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Avery Johnson's second season as head coach of the Alabama men's basketball program came to a close last night. The Tide fell to Richmond 71-64 in Tuscaloosa. It was the opening round of the National Invitation Tournament. The Tide season ends with a 19-15 record. Graduate transfer Corbin Collins led the way in a losing cause with 19 points. He made 5 of Alabama's 7 three-point shots of the game, going 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. Alabama would also get 11 points from redshirt freshman Dazon Ingram. He also dished out 6 assists and had a blocked shot in 28 minutes of work running the point without a turnover. Richmond advances to play host to Oakland University. Again, the Alabama men in their season at 19-15. I'll have more in a moment.
The annual income of sole proprietorships in Alabama totaled over $14 billion last year. Small business is big business in Alabama. Visit atlasalabama.gov to learn more about Alabama's Small Business Commission and get resources for starting your own business. Atlasalabama.gov, we're here to help. 96.8% of Alabama employers are small business owners. Small business is big business in Alabama. Visit atlasalabama.gov for free tools and resources to help you start your small business today. Atlasalabama.gov, brought to you by the Alabama Small Business Commission.
The Alabama women will host a WNIT game as they'll face Mercer at Coleman Coliseum, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Today, Alabama baseball will try to win its second straight games. The Tide takes on Samford. They were 5-0 winners over Eastern Illinois on Tuesday. And also, Bama softball has a pair of games set for today at Rhodes Stadium as well. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
A great show. Wednesday morning, Barrett Salee talked SEC football. We visited with Middle Tennessee State head basketball coach Kermit Davis about his upcoming NCAA tournament game with Minnesota. Laura Rutledge joined us, former Alabama outside linebacker Ryan Anderson, and Adam Zucker of CBS Sports. If you missed any of those, go catch the podcast at umsports.com. Tomorrow morning, Vegas runner and Lance Taylor get a set for NCAA tournament games right here on Cube Show, 6 to 10 on UMP Sports.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motor.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Aspen Trail 1700 BH. This sweet travel trailer sleeps 5 with a set of rear bunks for the kids. This trailer features a full kitchen with a 2-burner range, fridge, sink, microwave, and a large pantry. The Aspen Trail 1700 BH is on sale now for only $12,499.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the Aspen Trail Mini 1700 BH online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
5 locations are online at BanksonMotorhomes.com.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you could still have hepatitis C, a serious disease that's a leading cause of liver cancer. If you were born from 1945 to 65, you should get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments can cure this disease. Talk to your doctor about getting tested. A message from the CDC.
Indoor baseball, anyone?
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sponsored by Sam's Club. Get spring off to a clean start. Shop Sam's Club with over $5,400 in instant savings on spring cleaning essentials, allergy protection, and more. Save online or at your local Sam's Club.
Another freeze warning in effect tonight. The sky clear, the low 23. Tomorrow a sunny day, not as cold, the high 52. Friday, partly sunny and warmer, the high 64. Then for Saturday, a cloudy day with a few passing rain showers likely. Saturday's high at 65 degrees. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Is 866-485-9867 is your phone number. Of course, we're throwing tickets out there for Rodman on Friday night for the 7 o'clock show and the 9:30 show for the best text and the best tweet. And naturally, Wolverine Dan is at the center of all of that. from Rick and North Fort Myers. If I win tweet of the day, give my tickets to Wolverine Dan. From Garrett in Huntsville. Wolverine Dan makes Bama fans look like soccer moms when it comes to fanaticism and sheer lunacy for Michigan. On Twitter. At the text window. Wolverine Dan said he'd be a nuisance? Dude's already there. From Bama Bill. And then there's this. I bet Wolverine Dan wears a Wolverine helmet during sex. Tickets, please. From Kenny in Huntsville. All contenders right there. Not making any decisions yet. Kenny may be tough to beat, though. I don't know, T-Mac. But Wolverine Dan makes a phone call talking about the fact that, well, I shared the story that AL.com wrote listing four games they'd like to see Alabama make in their non-conference schedule after they scheduled Duke in Atlanta for the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic of 2019. My first reaction was, I mean, you know, Duke's been decent under David Cutcliffe. I mean, they're decent, but, gosh, that could be a blowout. I mean, shouldn't they play somebody better than Duke, like Wisconsin? No, they blew them out. Or maybe Michigan? Oh, they blew them out. How about USC? Oh, they blew them out. So how much worse can it be for Duke? I'll tell you right now, I don't think they'll beat Duke as bad as they beat USC last year. What was that, 51 to 52 to 3 or 53 to 2? Or I bet they don't beat Duke that bad in 2019. Now, it's not nearly as sexy as Florida State next year in Atlanta or even Louisville the following year in Orlando. I mean, that one could be really good. I wish they were playing Louisville next year so they could go up against that quarterback, you know. That would be cool. But Petrino will always, you know, he'll have that team playing well. He should still be there. I would think he'd be there. But AL.com came up with a story of four teams they'd like to see Alabama play. It's not a bad list. Clemson. Remember when they played, you know, it was that 2009 kickoff classic game against Clemson when Alabama announced that they were back. Alabama unranked going up against a top 10 Clemson team in the Georgia Dome. I was there. And I was like, how are they going to deal with this? Where are they going with this? The Ford kid was there. Remember the speed they had? And it was like, I don't know what Alabama's going to do with these guys. And they completely mugged Clemson that day. I mean, he drilled them. I don't know what the score was, 31 to 10. So that's what I'm thinking. It was something like that. Put the research team on that. T-Mac, put the research team on that. How bad did Alabama beat Clemson in the kickoff classic game in 09 or 08? Was it 08 or 09? 08? I think it was 08.
I think 08 was Virginia Tech, wasn't it?
No. No, it was the first. It was the first game of Saban's second season. So I want to say it was 08. Might have been 08. But it was a kickoff classic game at Atlanta. And Alabama was a decided underdog. And Clemson came into the game. They were either number 13 or number 8. There was something like that. And the Tide rocked them. I mean, it completely smothered them defensively. And I remember sitting in a press box. Everybody's kind of looking at each other saying, what the hell just happened? Like, what's that?
Research team came up with an answer.
Yeah, what's the answer?
34-10.
34-10. What'd I say? 31-10, something like that. 34-10. Was it opening day of 08?
Yeah, 08.
That's the year they go 12-0. And then lose to Florida in the SEC championship game, and then lose to Utah in the Sugar Bowl. Then the next year they come back and win a national championship. Next year's the year that Tim Tebow cried. So in any event, and Urban Meyer had a heart attack. So they've played Clemson before in that opening game. So, but anyway, Clemson would be fun. Michigan, which they played a few years ago, would be fun because of Harbaugh. They better get that done soon, though, because I don't know how long Harbaugh's going to be there. Oregon was another team they put on their list, which does nothing for me. Does anybody care to see Alabama and Oregon? I don't care. And FAU. Now, that could be fun. FAU is one that's got to come to Tuscaloosa, not to Atlanta. FAU doesn't get to play in a neutral. You know, they don't get to play anywhere but in Tuscaloosa. But that would be fun. And look, Alabama's made those games in the past. Remember, they made the game with Colorado State because of Jim McElwain. Now McElwain's gone. It doesn't matter. But McElwain did come in there a few years ago when he was at Colorado State, came in there. And Nick Saban's had a tendency to not run it up on his boys. He has a tendency to not do that to his guys. I wonder if he would run it up on Lane Kiffin. Lane wouldn't be throwing his arms in the air with the ball at the 40-yard line. I guarantee you that. But that would be fun to see them play FAU. But they'd have to do that like in the next 2 years. Does anyone think Lane Kiffin's going to be the head coach at FAU in 2019? He's not going to be the head coach there 3 years from now. Most people think he's got a pretty good little football team there too, building. I think they were they 3-9 this year? They might go like 7-5 and then the next year be really decent in the Conference USA. Be interesting. Wonder when he's coming back to Alabama to play UAB. Put the research department on that. The UAB's in that Conference USA. When does FAU play at UAB? They must play UAB next. Well, I don't know. I don't think everybody plays everybody. I don't know if they do or not. I don't know how Conference USA makes up their schedules. It's like Sun Belt on steroids. 3/4 of the Sun Belt went to the new Conference USA because all the Conference USA went to the American Conference, the All-American Conference. Dante Hightower remains with the Patriots with a 4-year, $43.5 million deal. $19 million guaranteed. Dude made $7.5 million last year and was elected a captain. That means something because your team elects you. And the team elected him a defensive captain last year. I think it's a great deal for both sides for the kid from Lewisburg, Tennessee. Very, very solid deal. 4 years, $43.5 million. Half of it's guaranteed. A little more than just under $11 million a year for Hightower. And he could play that kind of football. Todd McShay has his latest mock draft out. And there's a stunner in there. Todd McShay, he's like everybody else. Got Myles Garrett to Cleveland at 1. He has Solomon Thomas, though, the defensive end from Stanford. It's been climbing a lot of boards. He's got him to San Francisco. He's got the Bears taking Jamal Adams. And then in the four hole, he has the Jags taking O.J. Howard. As opposed to Leonard Fournette, he said, I opted for Howard, who has spectacular pre-draft process, standing out during the Senior Bowl practice and combine testing, running a 4.51 at 251 pounds. Howard profiles as a big play threat in the NFL, an underrated blocker. Fourth pick, what's the highest a tight end has ever been? Hey, T-Mac, put the research team on the highest draft pick ever for a tight end. What's the highest a tight end has ever been drafted? I would be stunned if O.J. Howard was taken fourth overall in the draft. And then right after that, he's got the Titans taking Jonathan Allen. That wouldn't suck. Could you see Jonathan Allen lining up opposite Jarrell Casey as the five. Jarrell Casey is the three technique and Jonathan Allen as a five technique in that 30 scheme offense. Remember, they run the same defense or defense. They run the same defensive scheme for the most part that the Tide run. They, you know, that's a 30 front defense. It's kind of a mongoloid. It looks like a 40 when you look at it on film and you look at the way they play it, but really it's still technically a 30, technically a five technique there, you know. It's going to be a heavy defensive end type guy. It's really a tackle. And that's, I think, a perfect defense for Jonathan Allen. But you could slide him all over that line. He could play to three. He could play to five. He could play to shade. You could move him all over that deal. He has Leonard Fournette to the Panthers at eight. Reuben Foster to the Bengals at nine. You would think with the red flags that maybe Foster would have slid a little bit, but, you know, it's the Bengals. Red flags means draft that guy. He's got Derek Barnett out of Tennessee to the Saints at 11. That's the highest I've seen Derek Barnett now. He's got the Browns taking not Mitchell Trubisky, but Deshaun Watson. He's got the Browns drafting Myles Garrett and Deshaun Watson. Oh, they screwed that up. They'll figure out a way to screw that up. Christian McCaffrey to their McCaffrey. I hate that name. Doesn't it have to have a T in there somewhere? Shouldn't it be McCaffrey? Everyone's daddy played. It was the same thing. McCaffrey. It's really McCaffrey. You look at it, you want to say McCaffrey, but it's McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey to the Eagles. At number 14, that's the highest I've seen that. Forrest Lamp out of Western Kentucky to the Colts. He's a kid that tested great, too. He has got Delvin Cook to the Redskins at 17, and the Titans taking Mike Williams, the wide receiver out of Clemson, at 18. He's got Mitchell Trubisky to the Houston Texans at 25. Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee to the Chiefs at 27, taking the Jamal Charles role. Taco Charlton, the defensive end out of Michigan, to the Cowboys at 28. Cam Robinson to the Falcons to play guard at 31. So it just gives you some of the highlights. Let's grab a break. When we come back, lines are open. Highest rated tight end ever, highest drafted tight end ever, 1957 Packers. Fourth overall pick, Ron Kramer. Drafted by the Pack. God, they were terrible then. They got worse from there. He was out of Michigan. All right, when we come back, we'll see if anybody else is taking shots at Wolverine Dan.
Oh, you're starting right in, huh? Starting right in with the insults. No warming up in a bullpen or nothing, man.
Still got 40 minutes or so to win tickets to the Rodman Show. Back with more after this on 730 1039 AM.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. So where does that Seattle signing of Eddie Lacy leave Adrian Peterson? What's that tell us about AP? It tells us that AP is not the player he used to be or the player that he thinks he still is. I think we can also assume that money had something to do with this, and Adrian Peterson is probably asking for way more than he's actually worth. His last deal paid him $14 million per. No back is getting that kind of dough again, and especially one with his mileage at his age, coming off that injury and the season he just had. The Seahawks were more desperate for a back than anybody in the NFL, and they waited about a week to get this deal done, and they got it for non-crazy dough. If running backs fall off a cliff at 30, where does that leave Adrian Peterson, who's about to turn 32 coming off a poor season? Too old, too busted up, asking for too much money, and thinking way too highly of yourself is a terrible way to go through life. I'm Jim Rome.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. It takes a lot of work to call a sports broadcast. You have to study up on players, know all the stats, check out the injury list, and you have to get to the stadium on time. So, of course, you get stuck in traffic, then your flight's delayed, and you don't even get on air. Planning a broadcast is exhausting and not always rewarding. But Hotels.com is. With their rewards program, you can unlock instant savings and earn free nights. Hotels.com. Instant savings now, free nights later. Taxes and fees not included. Instant savings on select properties.
Napa Know-How.
Spend $24 on anything at Napa this month, and you'll get a free Chase Elliott racing cap. You can spend it on oil. You can spend it on wiper blades. Heck, spend it on a year's supply of Pine Tree air fresheners. No matter what you spend $24 on, you'll walk away with a free Chase Elliott racing cap planted firmly on your noggin. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 3/31/17.
Hey, look at Aaron.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motor home.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Forester 3011 DS. This spacious double-slide motorhome with automatic leveling jack sleeps 7 with a bunk over cab sleeping area. With features like a separate queen bedroom, including double wardrobes, a kitchen with solid surface countertops, and double sink plus pantry, this Class C makes travel a dream.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the Class C Forester 3011 DS on sale now online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
5 locations are online at BanksonMotorhomes.com.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? First, I had to decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more, so I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy and giving up impossible. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through the kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing their seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Charles in Decatur texted, I thought I heard Arky mention an intern this week on the morning show. They hook you up with an intern? But a doghouse intern? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding
me? The guy's an intern.
They think I'm an intern. He's not that app. That isn't that apple ain't falling far from the tree. I'm not getting no intern. The only way I get an intern is if I go find an intern. They're not going to hook me up with an intern. It's just like, you know, like the best highways in every state are like in the state capital because the money doesn't get too far from where the power structure is. The power structure is with Arky. I'm not getting no intern. They might. I think they have two or three interns on the morning show. I don't even know if they use our studio anymore. I think they use like the ZYP studio, or they use the Nash FM studio. They probably don't even use the home studio anymore. He's using like the Nash studio because it's, you know, nicer, got better mics and things like that. He's got a couple of interns, a guy spinning the platters that matter and the stacks of wax. He's got another guy answering the phones. Arky's not even doing that stuff. He doesn't even run the board anymore. I think Arky is sitting either with Cole or he's on Cole's lap maybe. And they got all the interns. I got no intern. What do you think they want me to come in there
for? You might have been onto something there, Big Dog.
I'm telling you, man. It's all Cole Kublik stuff all over the studio. You wouldn't even know I'm on that radio station. Got Cole signs up. They took down the Alabama stuff and put up all Auburn stuff. There's no Alabama stuff in there anymore. They may have even pulled down the crimson colored foam that was on the walls. It used to be crimson colored foam, you know, because, you know, we're the Alabama affiliate. Pull all that stuff off. They got all kinds of, you know, War Eagle stuff and, you know, hover helmets and cold helmet from Auburn and, hey, interns? Kidding me? You got no intern?
So you mentioned something about you think Arky does the show from Cole's lap. Does that mean that if they lose the bracket challenge, Arky has to do a show from Cole's lap?
He would kill Cole. Come on now. They're in the other room. I'm not sure what they're... We got to come up with something. We got to come up with something extra other than them buying us lunch. They think they, you know, they didn't hurt me by making me go into Cole's studio. All right, let me get to the lines. Undertaker. I got Undertaker. That's what I got. I don't got no stinking intern. I got Undertaker. Undertaker, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing good. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. I got some questions for you, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
What do you got?
Well, like you were saying, yeah, it's not hurting your feelings if you have to do it in the station because you don't have to come to Athens or Huntsville for lunch anyway.
Yeah, I got to come and feed those guys anyway. Now, it would take me an hour and a half to get home from there afterwards. I think the bigger issue is they want to pull me into the Cole Kublik Memorial studio. Because I think Cole's got, like, signs. There's pictures of Cole up in there now. And there's, like, all Auburn stuff. And, you know, so they want me to sit. You know, they just want me to. They think there'll be some kind of indignity. I'd be honored to do the show from the Cole Kublik studios.
Why don't you, when you win, go ahead and they have to do your show in the afternoon one day.
No, because then they might make me do their show, you know, and it might be better. And then I'll lose my show. You know, if they do my show in the afternoon and then everybody's, hey, look, Arky's on in the afternoon. And the next thing you know, I don't even have a gig anymore. I can't give up too many shows. You know, I got to be careful with that.
Well, you know, everybody's picking on Wolverine Dan.
They are.
So I might as well too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's got old, his coach there on speed dial, so when he makes love to his wife, if he gets what play he's supposed to run, he can call him up.
Ooh, I got a good one here. Twisted says, make Cole and Arky wear Bama gear to the lunch. Oh, geez, I wonder if we could get that done. Wow.
Thanks, right there.
That could work. That could work. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Wow, I don't know if I can make Cole do that. Twisted says Wolverine Dan doesn't wear the helmet during sex. He makes his wife wear it along with a pair of khakis. Stop it now. Stop with the insults. All right, I'm still giving away. I got some pretty good contenders. Boy, you like that, T-Mac? Can we make those guys wear Bama gear at the lunch in public with us?
I think that's perfect. I don't think that's too much of an injustice, even for Cole. I think it'd be fine.
I don't think Cole would do it. Arky would do it, though. All right, we'll be back. Final fabulous half hour of the show next, right here on 730-103.90.
Sports Radio, 730, 1039, The Ump, The Ump.
I'm Jason Horowitz with an NCAA tournament schedule preview. More First Four action coming up tonight with a doubleheader that includes the Pac-12's USC Trojans taking on the Providence Friars out of the Big East. And of course, tomorrow and Friday, we'll have the entire field hitting the hardwood. To follow all of the games and scores and make sure you don't miss any of the excitement, tune in to Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the entire NCAA tournament right here.
Your floors are under attack, from overwatered plants to overflowing dog bowls. But the Home Depot has water-resistant Pergo Outlast Plus laminate flooring starting at just $279 a square foot. So you and your floors get to fight back with 24-hour spill protection that stands up to liquids for a whole day without damage. The next generation of laminate flooring is Pergo Outlast Plus, starting at just $279 a square foot. Exclusively from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
Sometimes diabetes can feel more like don't-a-beaties. Don't do this, don't forget that. But with a little help from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for expert pharmacy care in-store or online via pharmacy chat. Pick up the medications you rely on and get savings on testing supplies from all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens True Metrics. Walgreens has just what you need to do more with diabetes. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free 2-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April, may vary by model. No charge for promotional 2-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
Hi, I'm Marion Platt, and welcome to Heartbeat. Do you ever feel that if you passed away today, you might not be missed? Life sometimes leaves us feeling like a zero. But it's worth noting that if you place the number one in front of the zero, you increase that number tenfold. When we place God as number one in our lives, we discover our own personal value. The Bible tells us that God marks the sparrow's fall, knows the number of hairs on our head, and has a plan for each of us. He gave His best, His own Son, to make our lives count. We do have value. Infinite value, because He made us for eternal fellowship with Himself. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a big brother or big sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
The Tom Abraham Show, afternoons 2 to 6.
We train hard every day, every single day, every day, and that's where the spotlight should have been on, not me. All of these guys, because I wouldn't be here without them. What do you mean, all of these guys? These guys are girls, Mac. These guys are chicks, okay? And you're taking testosterone, and they're not.
On Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
I'm Sarah. I'm Ellen. One night I was at a bar. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel. I got a cab. A squirrel ran across the road. I swerved. The cab swerved. I hit a guy. The cabbie just missed a guy. I wish I took a cab. Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life.
Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.